are now listening to WBPPR Big Pretty Public Radio on the Perfecta Podcast Network. The following program has been brought to you by Teaspoon Safflowers Oil Spill Fish Oil, turning the negatives of marine oil spills into a positive, now with extra oil. And Teaspoon Safflower. No product, just the person himself. Isn't it strange that public radio has underwriters and sponsors instead of advertisers? What's the difference? I suppose it's just how it looks for taxes. Just something to think about. And now, an evening with the authors. I am your host, Dana Glass. Hello and welcome to our program, loyal listeners. I am here in the beautiful, newly renovated WBPPR studios. I am with my producer, Bernadette, and intern Marley is around here somewhere doing something that she probably was not asked to do, and possibly, in fact, even asked specifically not to do. If I could take just a moment, Bernadette, the sponsors for... I'm sorry, it's not sponsors this. Now it's in my head, the way I'm saying this. How does this work? If they're willing to give the money, then I say what... Oh, okay, well, I guess that's fine, and I don't see any other reason to dwell on it, no matter how uncomfortable it makes me, because I have good news. I don't mean to speak out of turn here or be unprofessional, but your host just gained his first raise in the entirety of the time he has worked for this company, and not only did I receive a raise, the entire staff got a raise. Bernadette, I'm sorry, that's your business. I should not be sharing. Even Marley was given a certificate saying that she was doing a very, very good job, and I could not agree more. I tell you what, loyal listeners, I don't know if it's this new concoction of medications, the therapy sessions themselves, the sun coming out, but I just feel good. And I don't know if I've ever been able to say that before. Of course, I shouldn't brag. There are others not doing well in the world, and, well, the coronavirus is definitely an issue globally, and, well, there's always disease and famine, isn't there? There I go again. That's the cycle that I've been speaking to my therapist about, and judging by the look I am getting with Bernadette, I am spiraling out once again and should stay on task. So let us do just that and get to our first reading of this episode. Jordy Gillespie is new to the literary world, but has first-hand experience in the world of crime. While sitting guard at various libraries and grocery stores, Jordy spends most of his time eating powdered donuts and reading detective noir stories. As the adage goes, write what you know. He will now read from his anthology series, Clearance Sale on Justice. Jordy Gillespie.
Just gonna read some excerpts from my anthology series. Here's an excerpt from The Case of the Lady Who Ignored Me. The moment she walked into Krugerman's, I could tell she was a dame with the weight of the world on her shoulders. She paused a moment in front of my desk, which was really just a metal folding chair next to a stack of plastic milk crates, but in this crazy, mixed-up world, a man makes do with the little he gets. She wore a gray blazer, real professional type up top, but her skirt told a different story. Real professional type down low. Those gams ran straight from her belly button to Brazil. I couldn't take my eyes off of her like a sicko at the aftermath of a train wreck. She continued to pause, reading a small notebook. So, I thought, this must be what a lion feels when he sees a gazelle stopping to get a drink from a cool Saharan oasis. Wiping the powdered sugar off my uniform, I strolled up beside her as casual as a kitten. Say, honey, you lost? I was the only one who smiled at my joke. Her face was stone. I tell you one thing's for sure, I'd never play poker with this broad. No, she said. Then she walked away, out of my life forever. Maybe I'd see her again, maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, but soon. She'd be out of groceries and will eventually have to come crawling back. It wouldn't be the first time. The next reading is an excerpt from Paper or Plastic or Death. How's the coffee, Phil? Asked Tommy the bag boy. Tasteless as a roadhouse blonde and strong enough to build a garage on, I said. Bag boy. Title didn't fit this kid. For one thing, he was about 55 years old. He had a tattoo on his neck. He said it was the Chinese word for wisdom. But to me, it just translates to, I'll be a bag boy for the rest of my life. Two tats on his hands. On his left, P-A-P-E-R. On his right, P-L-A-S-T-I-C. Tommy was a good egg. Thanks, Phil, said Tommy. What for? I replied. Oh, he said, you were just talking funny out loud like you do sometimes. You said Tommy was a good egg. I clammed up. It gets lonely being the only guy who gives a damn about justice in this crazy mixed-up grocery store. I slipped my mitts into my pockets and just drifted with the tide and found myself at the self-checkout where all the action takes place. There she was, the gal of my dreams, her class and desperation went together like milk and beer. Something in my gut told me something was wrong, fishy, queer, strange. She was waiting for cash back. At least that was her story. She was waiting for the cashier to get it for her. Oh yeah, I said, with the skepticism of a waitress who's been asked for a doggy bag for some French fries. Nobody's gonna eat those cold fries. I snatched the receipt from her hand. She gasped. She was right to. This was an entirely inappropriate thing for a grocery store security guard to do. But I had my reasons. This was a special case. For one, her shopping cart was all screwy. Sugar-free peanut butter, but regular jelly. It just didn't add up. Boy, if a receipt could sing, this little piece of thermal paper would be in the hallelujah chorus. $400 cash back? Really? The whole PB&J thing made sense in a way. Maybe she was keeping someone on the side, or maybe she wasn't so golden-hearted. In my experience here in the lowest depths of depravity, in a world where people leave discarded refrigerated items in the bread aisle, where unattended empty shopping carts are ripe for the picking, where marriages end over an argument about what kind of toilet paper to buy, in my experience, when people act worried and draw big dough from the bank, I could smell shakedown. But you don't need any flatfoot to tell you that. You're going to have to buy the book to find out what happens. And finally, an excerpt from a little story called Hard Boiled. I believe it was Lawrence Block who wrote, sometimes it's a dog-eat-dog world, and the rest of the time, it's the other way around. I couldn't agree more. Some neighborhood punks crashed the store like a hurricane that's been invited over for Thanksgiving. I told these no-good lollipops to hit the bricks, but they did just the opposite. They hit the linoleum. Sure, I wanted to track them down, but I wanted to nab these little screwballs and send them up the river, but I was contractually obligated to remain in the boundaries of the customer service desk, the checkout aisle 12, the Coinstar machine, and the front door. They had me right where they wanted me. I watched with egg on my face as they danced around the aisles, making eye contact with me, pointing and laughing, holding out their cupped arms as if to demonstrate that my plump physique was much more large and unwieldy than it is. I'm heavy, sure, but I'm not that fat. You got the wrong guy, I tell ya. Either that or your headlights need replaced. They laughed as if I inadvertently told a joke and continued to run amok all over Krugerman's. That's when I saw it, the little ginger kid. You know the type. With so many freckles, he looks like someone with a mouthful of gravy did a spit take on a ghost. He was holding a box of zebra cakes and moving them back and forth as if he was sexually assaulting the box. That was the last straw. Nobody does that to my little Debbie. See, in this crazy mixed-up world, a guy has got to keep cool just enough to find a way to give someone the wallop they deserve. That's when I remembered a loophole, the restroom break rules. I could violate my post if I had to use the bathroom, but I didn't really have to use the bathroom. I strutted like a bull entering a bull ring. I slammed my badge and pepper spray on Mr. Krugerman's desk, looked him dead in the eyes and said, I have to go to the bathroom. I turned and walked away. Oh, he tried to stop me by saying things like, excuse me, Phil, I'm sorry, I'm busy on the phone. Can this wait? Thanks. But it wouldn't work. To catch the bad guys, you gotta think like a bad guy, and that's why all the best detectives have a dark side. I grabbed a 3-pound bag of red potatoes. This cost me $2.99, but so be it. I slipped around the dessert cake section with my bag of little Irish cannonballs and bam! Nailed that melon with a spud missile. That tater hit that redhead so hard it'll be double coupon day before he wakes up again. I sniffed out the rest of the crooks in a heartbeat. There they were in the dairy section, real quiet-like. I blocked off every aisle to the dairy section with slippery when wet signs to ensure no bubble-headed sap would wander into the starchy carnage that was about to take place. I jumped out from behind a large cardboard cutout of a dirt Guernsey cow. Bam, 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 freeze! But the big one took that as his cue to slowly grab a carton of eggs and opened a lid. All right, you nutcases, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this my way. I was swinging the bag of potatoes over my head like a bike chain. The big guy looked worried and ever so deftly selected an egg from the carton. I kicked the customer service button with my foot and shouted into the speaker as I passed it, "We're gonna need a cleanup on aisle 6.
Quite a dramatic telling of not-so-dramatic events from Jordy Gillespie. Your next author is best known as Kyle's girlfriend. She has half of a degree in fire science from Joliet Junior College and has a blog where she reviews soda at White Castle. Reading from her self-published memoir, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, or That Pickles Are Cucumbers. Please enjoy Sashley Alexander.
He didn't do a good job of plugging my blog, but the water is bad at the White Castle that is just opened on Route 30 in New Lenox. This is a selection of my self-published memoir that I wrote in a day. You may have heard about women who didn't know they were pregnant. Same. I heard about it too as well. And I thought to myself, how quaint, how stupid, what dumb slots. Until I simultaneously found out that I was pregnant. And also on that same day, coincidental by fate, I found out that pickles are actually cucumbers. In this pamphlet turned memoir, I will seek to prove that pickles are actually cucumbers. Did you even know that? Like, how? The crazy thing is that I eat cucumbers all the time. I slice them up. Imagine eating a cucumber as you do a banana. The way it would feel in your teeth, ouch, hurting, strong. I put them in sandwiches, salads, and even I'll put one in my water. Because I'm unique. But how come then they just don't turn into pickles? How come a cucumber left forgotten in a refrigerator dissolves into a disgusting water rather than pickle, like a raisin in the sun? And then that does bring about the question, what even is a raisin? I thought all of this because suddenly I was craving pickles more than cucumbers, and this? Alarming. Oh, also I was like gaining weight, and it was like in my like belly, which seemed weird, and I figured I was just bloating really bad from eating salt from the pickles, and then the cucumber water should like stop the bloating, so it was like confusing. So maybe I wasn't pregnant, but nope, I was. And turns out those pickles I was craving were actually cucumbers soaked in brine, and I liked to eat them too. So I know it seems strange that someone could be so out of touch with their body to not know that they're pregnant, but you'd be surprised. Sometimes life and all of its many miracles and fruit slips by you. Sometimes it's hard to see what's right in front of you, like that I no longer got my period, had really bad heartburn, swollen breasts, and pickles and cucumbers are the same shape and size. Similar color and texture even, but taste different. And that's fucked up and no one actually talks about it. And that is why I am more brave than most. Like, I don't even really like pickles. They kind of smell and taste like BO. And I know I'm not alone, right, ladies? My friends told me, stop, you're embarrassing yourself. But I think these things need to be said out loud and perhaps written upon a parchment. Because there might be someone out there like me who has a loose understanding of how pickles and babies are made. Pregnant women tend to crave pickles, my rude friend Daphne said when I mentioned my new craving. I can't be pregnant, I told at her. I'm on birth control, and the last time I had sex with my boyfriend Kyle, he totally banged me out in the back room of the Trader Joe's he works at, Lincoln and Graves. And I remember it because a box of Trader O's fell on my face when he was balls deep inside me with his 6-inch sharp cock. Sharp. And now that I have become pregnant with his child and seed, I know that this is also the tightest my pussy will ever be. So I said all of this to Daphne word for word. And she uttered the most painful words I've ever heard before. Antibiotics can cause birth control pills to fail. And also pickles, yes, are cucumbers. A bomb dropped at the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill that we were eating at. I was there for the chill, and my friend Daphne was very much about the grill, although she did sample my blizzard. I asked her to elaborate, and she explained that pickles are merely cucumbers that have been jarred in vinegar, garlic, salt, and dill. And I said, that's it? How can that be? They are cucumbers marinated and seasoned. Who even thought of that? Some sick psycho who would pickle a human if it were legal? And it isn't. Does everyone know about this? I asked her. Yes, she said bitchily. I looked it up later and also took a pregnancy test. It turns out I was pregnant the whole time. Not only that, but Wikipedia.com told me that pickles were made that way. The facts are right in front of me, and experience that I never had before. It really was eye-opening to me, as I hope it is eye-opening to all of you. It turns out, vinegar and antibiotics are incredibly powerful. Thank you.
That was Sashley Alexander, truly a very stupid person. Moving on. With over 2,000 reviews to his name, Horace Claret is considered by many to be the greatest and most prolific critic alive, with a notorious reputation as one of the hardest critics to impress. His new book, And Yet I Remain Unsatisfied, is a retrospective collection from a long career reviewing everything from art, film, books, food, travel, theater, and consumer products. Please enjoy Horace Claret.
Hello. I am Horace Claret, and as he says, I have one of the longest and most storied careers in criticism. However, my discerning palate has made it a mostly joyless affair. I have compiled some of my favorite reviews here in my book, And Yet I Remain Unsatisfied. I'm going to read some selections for you. I wanted to enjoy the film Van Helsing. I truly did. Hugh Jackman is a delight in nearly everything he does, but this modern-day take on the Bram Stoker character is one-dimensional and leaves Jackman very little to work with, which is saying something considering the fact that this cockamamie cinematic potluck throws everything in the public domain at the hero. Dracula, Wolfman, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, even Frankenstein's monster shows up in a rowboat. For a film with so many fangs, there is very little bite. 1 star. The International Hotel and Casino was a miserable, hellish destination. As my flight landed at dawn, I could already feel the heat of the Las Vegas sun burning down on me. The desert sun is oppressive, and I spent most of the day in my room with the curtains drawn. I tend to prefer the nightlife, so once the sun set, I took to the strip in search of something to eat. I found myself somehow at the Grand Showroom as the so-called king of rock and roll took the stage for the first time in a decade. Throngs of hooting and braying dunces cheered him on with such vigor, I wish I could say I was caught up in the same fervor, but I was not. This Elvis was not the lithe, squirming young provocateur who set the loins of youngsters everywhere aflame some 20 years ago. Besuited in a white sequin jumpsuit, the bloated crooner was, at best, a parody of his own success. His finale, bellowing glory, glory, hallelujah, with a jewel-encrusted crucifix around his neck, was so repulsive to me that I was forced to head back to my room, my appetite completely ruined. 1 star. As a man of a certain age, I recall a time when a gentleman would sport a cape or a cloak. It stands to reason that I would be exactly the sort of chap for whom this so-called snuggie was invented. It is, however, a failure. It is a backwards cloak at best and completely useless as a cape. Do not expect to cut a dashing figure or to conceal your identity. You will be that goofy son of a bitch with his robe on backwards, and God forbid anyone try to hunt you down and kill you. They will have the advantage of not having an ankle-length fleece blanket wrapped around their legs. I cannot conceive of a scenario in which I would give this product, which nearly ended my life, anything more than one star. I have seen the latest work from Leonardo da Vinci, that supposed genius of Italy. It is a painting he calls the Mona Lisa. Unlike his earlier works, his designs for a flying machine, The Last Supper, that naked guy with four arms and four legs, this Mona Lisa neither delights the senses nor challenges the audience. It depicts a very plain-looking lady simply sitting, staring with a dumb smirk on her face. As a fan of his recent works, I sincerely hope this is not indicative of the direction Da Vinci is headed creatively. I see stupid women staring smugly at me everywhere I go, laughing at my teeth, whispering to each other about my complexion. I have no need for art to imitate life in this respect. One star. I arrived in the southern region of Seville after traveling for several days across the Iberian Peninsula under cover of darkness. While many welcome the expulsion of the Caliphate from Spain, I personally find Charles's so-called Holy Roman Empire equally unfriendly to someone such as myself. And I have not been keen on visiting the region since the Goths had left. I had come to sample the art of this newly burgeoning golden age, but my travels had left me famished, and I thought it clever to perhaps review the cuisine. I was directed to a local cantina referred to as El Murcielago, which sounded relevant to my tastes. Immediately upon arriving, the proprietor of the establishment informed me that due to an outbreak of the plague, there was no clean drinking water. I replied that I had no interest in water, that my tastes were unlike most visitors. I was delighted when she suggested I sample the regional sangria. Finally, someone who understands my unique palate. My hopes were dashed almost instantly. "You call this sangria?" I said. Perhaps my knowledge of Spanish language is not as extensive as I thought. This so-called sangria was just wine with fruit in it. One star. The Hunger Games is a tedious, ugly, banal little book. I've failed to identify with any of the characters or find their motivations in the slightest bit believable. If you should find yourself consumed with the impulse to read young adult fiction, you would be better served to pick up a copy of Stephanie Meyer's Twilight. Twilight is the gold standard for young adult. I found myself constantly nodding in agreement with Edward, the main character. If young readers have a hunger for realistic fiction, where the characters are grounded in reality and believable, they should read Twilight rather than settle for these foolish games. One star. I will not mince words. The Phantom of the Opera is no phantom. He is simply a sad man with a burnt face. I came expecting a phantom, an otherworldly monster whose story might be compelling. Instead, he was some sort of song and dance man who had some sort of accident involving a pressure cooker. Don't let the black cape and spooky affect fool you. This is not a story about a tortured immortal ghoul whose existence might remind you of your own damned soul. He is a charlatan and a pretender. One star. I have never been a fan of so-called popular music these days, but when I was offered 2 free tickets to see one such act perform in a football stadium in Des Moines, Iowa, I nearly dismissed the offer outright before hearing who was performing. A quartet of minstrels known as Black Sabbath. The name piqued my interest, and so I went and brought along an old friend with whom I had known for many years, who I considered to have tastes similar to my own. We were not disappointed. A young man named Ozzy cut a dashing figure in dramatic black costumery, and he intoned dark, transgressive themes with many provocative and seductive allusions to the occult and dark magic. I found myself enthralled by his words, as did my companion to an even greater degree. Had I not been so mesmerized, I might have discouraged him from rushing onto the stage to meet this Mr. Osborne, who, being truly a creature of pure darkness, did what one does. He lifted my companion onto the stage and bit his head off, ending his life. No musical performance, no matter how good, can outweigh the loss of a dear friend. 1 star. If you see only one movie this summer, see anything but There Will Be Blood. I cannot express how disappointed I was with this film, which, from its title alone, piqued my interest in a way few films have. Sadly, this movie was as bloodless as the Red Cross in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. If you are afflicted by an ancient demonic curse that requires you to nourish your undead corpse on the awkward silences between a sociopathic capitalist and a deaf boy, then this movie is for you. If you are seeking literal blood, however, this film is quite literally the least amount of blood spilled over oil in the history of America. 1 star. You have probably heard it said that Romania is, in many ways, still in the Dark Ages. I will say, however, that those who say such things have simply not experienced Romanian hospitality. From the moment I arrived, I have been welcomed with open arms by everyone I have met, most notably a friendly nobleman by the name of Vladislav. So generous, this man, that he has offered me free room and board in his beautiful estate. I have enjoyed my time here in a private sleeping room and have on many occasions awoken in the night to find my host standing over me while I sleep, always quick to ask if I am comfortable. Due to this nocturnal vigilance, I suppose I have not seen much of my host during daytime hours when I explore the beautiful countryside, but each night I return to his castle and find he has prepared a sumptuous feast for me. Such a consummate host, this Vlad, he seems disinterested in dining himself and prefers to watch as I enjoy the feast set before me, although tonight, as we dined, he did raise a glass of wine and proclaim an elegant toast, wishing me a very long life. 5 stars. Thank you.
Horace Claret, saying so much more if you read between the lines. What an amazing and long, long, long career. Well, loyal listeners, that will conclude this edition of An Evening with the Authors. I'd like to thank all of the authors who took part in this episode. I'd like to thank the venues for hosting our live events. The readings you heard on this edition were from the White Rabbit Cabaret in Indianapolis, Indiana, Logan Square Improv in Chicago, Illinois, and Kaiju in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to attend one of our live events, You can find us on March 25th at Go Improv in Ferndale, Michigan. The following night, the 26th of March, at the Independent Comedy Club in Hamtramck, Michigan. You can see us on Tuesday, March 31st, at Kaiju in Louisville, Kentucky, and back at the White Rabbit Cabaret on the first Tuesday of April and every other month from here to eternity. Most of all, above anything else, I would like to thank you, loyal listeners, for spending an evening with the authors. Follow us on social media, and good night.